Every Monday, Novak is in the saddle for the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour. And as we do here on the final Monday of June, the final full week of June as well, we'll welcome July on the weekend. And then the 4th of July next week, Dave and I will not be with you on Monday or Wednesday. Why? Well, I had so much fun being off last week. There was no point in going back for the 4th of July Tuesday. And that's what happens when 4th of July is on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. You're just going to get, and I'm going to be one of what, the 99% that don't work Monday and Wednesday?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So why force it
at
in?
At minimum,
there?
It's a 4-day weekend.
Exactly. So you get us twice this week and then 0-2. Next week, and that'll be just how it goes. But we're busy. The NBA trade deadline. The free agency will open on Friday, so you will hear all of the basketball stuff going on. Remember, folks, there is no longer an offseason in any sport.
No.
It runs 365, 52 weeks. And maybe you get a couple days off. You don't at Christmas because the NBA plays on Christmas. The NFL plays on Christmas.
Even college now has their free agency periods.
And it never ends, by the way. Just the kid from Alabama,
yeah.
he decided he was going to pop out. I thought that was all over with. Thankfully, Osterman is back this week. He will make heads or tails of what is going on, what can be going on. And Indiana has a scholarship open. So
yeah.
that's kind of an important deal. If you get a kid from a Sweet 16, Elite 8, well, he's been at Alabama for Quinterly is who we're talking about, Javon Quinterly. He's just decided he can get. I thought this was all done. I thought you couldn't do any of this.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's always the exception because
a couple different rules. And oh, by the way, we could use.
Well, he wouldn't be out there if they couldn't.
We've got some shots available.
That's it
for somebody who wants to come in and score for us.
And experience at a big level at a big time competitive program. So that's interesting, and a scholarship available.
He started at Villanova as well too. So it was a big time recruit coming out. He's had some injury issues, but. I mean, we've got a spot, and there's no reason not to take somebody if they can contribute.
And we've always mentioned this in the last month and a half or so. It's that's why you don't hurry up and fill this. You just never know. And, again, there is no penalty or punishment for having it open when next year starts. Maybe you're down a guy in practice, but how much does that really affect you? I don't know.
This is what's so weird, though, for coaches, because do you jump at the first couple guys you can get? I mean, it seems that way when you went after Ware and stuff like that. These are talented kids, don't get me wrong.
But needed a big guy in Ware. That makes sense.
Yeah, and you need a guy who can handle the ball as a second ball handler and can score for you as well. So, I mean, this guy would make sense.
But over
the course of this process, every single year, you got guys that come open. You go, do we jump at these guys and make sure we get these guys and fill everything quickly and not wait and see and hold one in our pocket for later, just see if somebody comes along that really fits a bill. It's really
when
tough
you
for coaches.
Lose Duncan, Thompson.
Oh yeah, you had
Trace
had
Jackson Davis. Well, the first two guys in the window they got were Peyton Sparks from Ball State, 6'9", 240, and 7'1", 2, whatever he is. So I get all of that. He is a graduate transfer, Quinterly.
There you go. So
he will not need a waiver.
He doesn't have a time frame, then, I don't think.
And he will be able to play immediately at his next school. So there you go. If you're wondering how that all worked itself out. That's how. So he just didn't decide, hey, I'm going to just try to beat the system. That's not how it's happening. So basketball, we saw last Thursday the NBA draft. This is our first time together since that has happened. Indiana University, well represented. Jalen Hood-Schifino goes 17, I believe it was, to the Los Angeles Lakers. And Trace Jackson Davis goes 57th to, at the time, was the Washington Wizards, or the pick was traded and the hats were switched around and everything else happened. And he went the penultimate pick of the NBA draft, and he will be going to probably the best place on earth, the Disney World of basketball,
there you go.
The Golden State Warriors. So two things to look at for how that goes on. The Indiana Pacers, they picked at number 7 for Washington. The Wizards very active here trying to rebuild, losing out Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis. The Pacers pick at 7. They took Victor Wembanyama, who everybody and their mother know was going first, took his teammate, and for a while there, everybody held their proverbial breath saying, who's this guy? What are the Pacers doing here? What's going on? And then you realized, oh, they're trading for that.
Yeah.
And what did the Pacers do? Well, they move up a pick. They get a couple second-rounders, and they get the guy they want. So that's good business there. If you are Kevin Pritchard, Larry Bird, I don't know who's calling this, Chad Buchanan. I don't know who's all calling all the shots there. But we'll blame Pritchard for that good play. The Pacers also moved out of some picks, sending a couple to Denver. For the
29 and 32.
For the 40th pick and a number one. Next year, that was moved. The 40th pick was moved to the 47th pick, and they got $4.3 million in cash. And by the way, now I know what the writers mean. And I was off last week about getting into like the you know what the blogger stuff and things like that. I've read some really dumb stuff before the draft, and I've read some really dumb stuff after the draft. And one of the dumbest things I wrote was or read was I haven't written anything dumb yet. Trust me, I'll get back on that later this week. There is time. June is not over yet. Something about putting the $4.3 million in the owner's pocket. That's not how that works.
No.
It's not.
No.
And that's why sometimes we get stupid. And sometimes our stupidity grabs, not headlines per se, but that's all you take out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Pacers moved down seven spots so the owner could stick $4.3 million in his pocket.
Money, yeah.
No. Number one, I don't even know what Simon owns the Pacers. I don't know if it's Herbie or Mel. I know one of them passed away the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They have more money than you can count to.
Yeah.
You and me and everybody that's listening, we can't count that high.
Yeah.
They don't need $4.3 million.
No.
That falls out of their back pocket when after a run of golf.
No. That buys them a car.
So what it does is it moves them into the salary cap. That's where that money goes.
Yeah.
It goes against their salary cap or into their salary cap, whichever way you want to look.
It increases their salary cap.
It does. It's an exception. It moves in. Yeah. You can use this money to spend on free agents.
I mean, or use this Pacers capital. Fans heard about this several years ago because we had one of these situations
right.
with one of our big trades where we ended up getting a big piece back, a big consideration piece back, a salary cap. No, I don't remember the term they used for it at the time.
We also learned last year because they didn't spend their salary cap number that Miles Turner could get an in-season bonus of $20 million.
Yeah, right, retroactive.
So that's not paying for that. That's just how the math in the capology works.
Yeah.
So let's be clear about that. That's number one. So the Pacers move from 40 to 47 for cash considerations and make a pick that they've announced they're going to stash, pick and stash for down the road. Great. Kid from New Zealand, whatever. Yeah. Mojave King, I believe is his name. The man named after the desert.
Sure.
Interesting.
Not the one he lives in.
So not Trace Jackson Davis, I guess, is the larger point.
Correct.
And Trace Jackson Davis also did not go to the Pacers pick that was later. Mm-hmm. They took Nigel Wong from Miami, who Indiana fans have seen enough of.
Period.
Isaiah Wong. Nigel Pack was his backcourt mate.
It's all together.
From Lawrence Central.
They all transferred to Miami last year.
And they all beat Indiana second round of the tournament. So there you have it. So no Trace Jackson Davis to the Pacers. But let's start with Jalen Hood-Schifino. I don't think anybody was surprised at all. Number one, last week or right before I left, before last week, it came out that he was going to be in the green room or was invited to the green room at Brooklyn at the Barclays Center for it. They don't pull those out of a lottery.
Right.
Those are because they have talked to enough people. They do not want to embarrass the family.
Right.
They do not want to embarrass the kid that, hey, we would like to have you here. So that told you basically all you needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like Hood-Schifino or not, it has nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with what they think. And they're way more important than the fan that thinks, well, he can't shoot. He's not a lottery pick. He doesn't deserve. No. Be quiet. Be quiet. The NBA just told you to be quiet, and the Lakers told you to shut up.
Well, so there it is. A million times. I mean, these guys are scouting for the future in the draft anyways. They're, you know, they love the guy to come in and contribute right away. But, I mean, if you just look at the ages of the people at the beginning of this thing, you're not taking fourth-year seniors. They're not taking fourth-year seniors.
Top
most
five
of the time.
Players, what'd you get? Four internationals?
Yeah. Nobody from college, if I'm correct.
Who was the only guy from college? Was there one?
Alabama, Brandon Miller.
There you go. And he's got other problems.
Yeah.
More than Jalen Hood-Schifino does. So congratulations. Jalen Hood-Schifino is Indiana's first round draft pick since Romeo Langford.
Uh-huh.
Went to the Celtics at 14, and I believe before that was Thomas Bryant. So not a long list of number one picks here in the last 5 or 6 years. You want to go back to Vic and Cody. We
Vic
know that
Cody,
was two and four.
Yeah.
We remember those halcyon days.
Yeah.
But great for Jalen Hood-Schifino and great for the Hoosiers. It stinks he fell out of the lottery. But no one remembers when you're picked 13 or 17, whether you're in the lottery or not.
Right.
They remember if you're a top 10 pick.
Well, plus, he's going to the Lakers. I mean, whatever you think of them now with LeBron and AD, that's one of the best organizations in the sport. So that's great. After 1 year, obviously, he's got all the time in the world to work on his game. I'll say this. Of the one-and-done players we've had in the last couple decades, of which we've had a couple, this guy to me was my favorite, and it wasn't even close. And it's because he was just seemed very unassuming out there as a basketball player. He wanted to win. He wanted his team to win. He did the right thing and the right plays. Everybody takes a questionable shot from time to time, so I'm not too worried about that. He didn't do it all the time. He didn't do it very frequently at all. I very rarely saw him showing a lot of over emotion out there, which can be good and bad. I think it's mostly good if you have an even keeled head. I thought he comported himself perfectly across the course of the entire season here for IU. And if we think back to Romeo Langford, I mean, we all loved Romeo because he's the Indiana kid and he's a legend around here. But that season did not go well for Indiana.
Number one, he was hurt.
Yeah, and this season we end up in the NCAA tournament and with a shot to go to the second weekend. But I like the kid. I wish the kid the best of luck. I really do.
The other thing that's about Jalen Hood-Schifino that stands out to me is he plays the hardest position in basketball, mm-hmm. the point guard position.
Well, he took it over basically in the middle of the season. I mean, that's
He didn't have time to be bedded into it.
Didn't come in here as Chris Paul handling the ball. He didn't, and you saw it early on. You know, he had to kind of grow into that, but he did it very quickly and had very little problem by the end of the season.
And he had no backup to spare him when he didn't have perhaps his best whatever games.
Defensively, we saw that he had some deficits, but you know what? For this team at that time, with him as the only ball handler we had, really, he couldn't be overly aggressive defensively.
No, he couldn't, and he had the pro body, 6'6" or 6'5 3/4", whatever he – I love when they measure people barefoot like they're going to play barefoot. Yeah. You play in shoes, so just measure them in shoes. Right. Why is this? What has to be official so they can't pad their shoes? No one cares. No one really cares. So Hood-Schifino does two things here. There's no more conjecture about what the NBA thinks of him. Mm-hmm. There's no more conjecture on whether he was deemed successful or not. Sorry he didn't take you to a Final Four. Sorry he didn't take you to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. So if you're hung up on that, you're allowed to be. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And if you're expecting Gabe Cupps as a freshman to do that this year, I would like to hear your anger in March if Indiana doesn't make it to the Sweet 16 because that happens. So what happens is Mike Woodson gets a guy that was not the highest touted prospect on that team at, how do you say it, Montverde?
Montverde, probably.
No, it's not Montverde. It's weird because that's why I brought that up. They don't call it that.
Then
they call
I
it
don't
something.
Care.
That's the point. The point is everybody knows about this place, but he didn't go to Duke. He didn't go to Carolina. He didn't go to Kentucky. He came here, and he left in 1 year as a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Not because we thought he was going to be and slipped to the second round and we're trying to make excuses now. He is in the first round. He has been selected by the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't care if you think LeBron runs that team or he doesn't. He has a say in everything that goes on there. He wouldn't be there if he wasn't. So, sure. That's a feather in the cap for Woodson. It's a feather in the cap for Indiana basketball. And Jalen Hood-Schifino was not treated any differently here. He made his way, forced his way to play. He forced himself into this. He created this through the system and has used Indiana University and NIL and everything else to elevate himself to a first-round pick. That's what I take away from the draft Thursday.
That last point is where I'm going right now. Elevate himself to a first-round draft pick. Starting the season, all the word was he was not a guaranteed first-round draft pick. But it was through the course of the season and what you saw out of him that turned him into a sure thing first-round draft pick. He's obviously very, very talented. With the chance to see him against high-level talent on a regular basis, everybody came away pretty darn impressed. And as Indiana fans, I get it. I mean, those of us who have been around for a while and maybe longer, we're not thrilled about one-and-dones anyways. I don't know too many of us that are, but that's the world we live in.
One-and-done means talent, so I'm not really sure why you wouldn't want one-and-dones around.
Well, I can give you a couple reasons, but I don't need to go into that right now because we're talking about Jalen Hood-Schifino.
Right.
But the fact is, I think of the guys we've had around him, I mean, I think of like Noah Vonleh and Thomas Bryant and guys, when they're only here for a year, it's hard to have a real connection to them. Romeo was different. He was an in-state kid. We saw him for years. That's different. But this kid, we had no idea who he was, but I thought he carried himself and competed for this team just extraordinarily well and have no qualms whatsoever about him going on to the next level, especially since you're a mid-round, first-round draft pick. But again, I think losing Xavier Johnson and having all the ball handling and all the offense origination, at least to a large degree, start with Jalen Hood-Schifino. Yes, Trace Jackson-Davis was a big part in initiating and distributing, but Jalen Hood-Schifino did the bulk work of the ball handling and getting us into things, not to mention he could score. I mean, who's going to forget the first half at Purdue? Nobody's going to forget
that. The entire game.
Yeah, but I mean, what was it, 25 or something in the first half?
When we
couldn't do anything right. The only reason we're in that game is Jalen Hood-Schifino. So, again, I hope he has a great career. I thought he was great here. I hope he was behind the scenes as well. You never know.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, but he was a lot of fun to watch, even for the 1 year. And I haven't been able to say that about a couple of the guys who have been one and done here. I haven't. So I wish him the best.
It's a shame Indiana wasn't healthy that entire season to see what that two-headed backcourt could have done.
Sure, it would have been nice to see what he was like.
Moved Galloway to the wing. Yeah, and
Xavier's
this,
taking
and
the ball.
That.
But, you know, that also limited some opportunities for him. I mean, he wouldn't have handled the ball as much against some of the pressure teams we faced.
Could have had better looks, though.
That's true, too. You know, he could have shot better, and had more opportunities at it. So there's a lot of give and take. But I think the ball handling part of it, though, and seeing how well he did with that and how quickly he kind of gleaned onto that, to me, is a big piece for the next step. Because 6'6 point guards in the NBA, those you love those guys.
And the other point was he was forced to do it, and he was forced to lead. And that's the other thing you cannot talk about how a guy does in practice or at a combine or at a workout. And you can see it through the court. I think he played the entire Big Ten season. Well, the last 18 games, because the first two, he missed one at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Hood-Schifino and Xavier Johnson and Trace Jackson-Davis did not play a Big Ten game together last year.
Wow.
That's how that worked out. And speaking of Trace went with the penultimate pick in the draft, number 57 of 58 picks total. And I don't know if you follow Tyler Tachman. He wrote a great piece on the day of the draft for the Indy Star following Trace and his family around. If you want some insight into how the day worked, if you want all the facts instead of the conjecture from the blogs and the boards, read his piece at IndyStar.com, and you can see why he went so late.
Well,
there's a reason for everything, and sometimes the reason is simply what's best for me. And good for Trace Jackson-Davis, because he sacrificed, what, a year, 2 years coming back to Indiana University to put himself in this place. And if he doesn't want to go on a two-way deal somewhere where somebody wanted him on a two-way deal, I think it's beneficial to both, saying, don't waste your time with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And I don't care where the chips fall. After the first round, don't even draft me. I don't care. I don't want to be on a two-way deal. I think I can play myself into a big contract. Golden State said, hey, buddy, we had you way up our board, and we will more than happily give you a three-year deal that does not involve the San Jose whatever back-and-forth team.
Well, that's the eye-opening part about this process, and this draft in particular for me was, you know, obviously roster management is always an issue, but in the NBA, roster spots just don't turn over that much unless there's major injuries. And so, you know, realizing how the Pacers were going to have to deal with their 12 players,
they're
or whatever
already
it
young.
Is. Yeah, 12 or 15 or whatever it ends up being. You know, that was a very interesting part of this. They still ended up drafting four guys, but two of them, one of them is going to stay international, so he doesn't count against the roster at all. Isaiah Wong has accepted a two-year contract, or a two-way contract, rather, at least theoretically, and said so. But I love the fact that they're actually talking about it ahead of time. And so this isn't, let's corner Trace Jackson-Davis into being a Pacer, even though we might have to release him or stick him down in Fort Wayne for a while. There's a back and forth there. Hey, here's how we have to manage our roster. You're going to be in a spot that's very crowded right now. We don't know how it's going to flush out. We hope you win the job. But if you don't win the job, we got to do something with you. And here are our options. What do you think about that? And he says for himself, like you said, I think I can do better than that. I think I can make a team right off the bat, and I'd like that chance, so don't even bother, because this isn't going to work out for us.
So there wasn't mutual interest.
I like the fact that there was this discussion ahead of time, that it wasn't just, you know, sometimes you hear these draft picks, especially in the NFL, I never heard from these guys. That's crazy to me. At least I guess the NBA is a little bit different. There's a little bit more forcing it, I think, in the NFL than there is the
NBA.
There's
only two rounds in the NBA.
Yeah, but it's and there's a great chance, you know, again, you go into the second round and you're talking about the Pacers not even wanting these guys on their team next year for all intents and purposes. I mean, they want them to be involved in the organization down the line, but they don't need them next year. And that's the weird part. You're in the second round. You think of the second round of the NBA or the NFL, and you're talking, you're looking for a starter.
But you just said it. Jobs in the big leagues don't open up that often. Guys have to either retire, get injured, or you have to have you bring in all these guys hoping to make a run at a championship. They're all free agents and leave.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's happening with Golden State.
Yeah.
They've already traded Poole. They've gotten Poole out of there. They have no size besides Kevon Looney if he's still on the roster.
Yeah.
And Trayce Jackson will walk in and play.
Yeah.
And that's what Golden State wants.
Draymond
wanted.
Green's a free agent now.
Storing, look, if you're the Pacers, then they got Oscar Tshiebwe instead. He signs a two-way deal.
Another two-way deal, exactly.
So he wants that.
Yeah.
Tshiebwe does. Tshiebwe made a killing in the Kentucky Big Blue NIL world as well. So that's, I mean, he doesn't quote-unquote need the money. Yeah. We all need the money. But, again, having Trayce Jackson-Davis as a Pacer and this all taking place behind the scenes and just reading every other column each week, why is he on the Pacers? Why? It's tedious for all parties involved. Yeah. So make sure you know the deal. And he did. And that's the good news. And, again, you can be mad, say, well, I wish he would have been drafted. No one cares. Get to the NBA. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Get in the NBA, get your second contract. Nobody cares how you get there.
If you got 3 years, I mean, that's great for
I thought I read that. If you Google that quickly, I'm pretty sure I read that Golden State's giving him a 3-year deal somewhere. Maybe I saw that in Dustin Dupierre's.
I saw a guaranteed contract. I didn't see the year.
Okay. Well, I thought I saw that in Dustin Dupierre's timeline. Dustin's going to join us tomorrow at 5:30, and we'll get the Pacers' angle on all of this, not Dave and Glass's angle. We'll hear what the experts are saying on all of this. But what the Pacers did, they go at number 7 and get a power forward. That was not Trayce Jackson-Davis. They get a shooting guard at 26 from Belmont, and they get Wong and Mojave King. Mojave King was in G League Ignite last year. He played 1 year in that. He's only 19. He's 6'5", 195. They'll stash him someplace. And then you can bring in Tshiebwe. There you go. You bring him in. And then their second-round pick last year, the kid from Baylor who barely played any games, he will stay on a two-way contract. So there's kind of your Pacers nutshell. But if you're Trayce Jackson-Davis, you've done your 4 years. You've done your time. You've put everything into it. And not being picked in the first round, yeah, it stinks. What was his tweet? I'm going to use this. I'll remember.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good.
Whatever
yeah,
you need
sure.
motivation to do. But landing the Golden State Warriors, you can't pick probably a better place to be in basketball right now.
Rab Johns tweeted that night, or more closely, that morning.
Well, that's what it was.
One in the morning.
That
he will be getting a 3-year contract, according to his sources.
Now, that doesn't say anything about guaranteed, but it does say a 3-year contract.
No, I had read that they were going to give him a guaranteed contract.
Here's what I learned.
I don't know what exactly it is, but that's impressive, whatever it is, for a second-round draft pick. Again, those guys don't get that kind of contract very often.
And the other part of this, the Pacers selected Andrew Nembhard last year with the second pick in the second round and gave him a 3-year guaranteed contract because they didn't want any of that to be misplaced, misused, misunderstood. So it can happen. So Trayce Jackson-Davis, after all of the things he did at Indiana University, we don't have time to list all of his honors. He's in the top 5 in just about every major category. If he would have, it would have been assist if he stayed longer. But a complete all-around player, and he goes to a team where he doesn't need to shoot jump shots, just like Kevon Looney doesn't shoot any jump shots for Golden State.
But it also sounds like Trayce has been working on that jump shot. And
you got to do it all at the NBA level.
Yeah.
But you know what? When that goes through your mind, it's like, should I pull up from 18 feet or should I throw it in the corner to Klay Thompson?
Well,
should
sure.
I pull up or should I spin and turn from 15 feet on this fadeaway or hit Curry opposite?
Well, a 3-year contract doesn't mean he's playing on the first group.
No, it doesn't, but you know what?
But he will at times.
If Kevon Looney gets hurt and he's their second tallest guy, he is going to be on that.
Yeah.
So, number one, he gets to move to one of the greatest cities in America, San Francisco, which is completely awesome. Fan base is rabid. Lakob and those owners are nuts. They spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
They've done so on the arena. They do so for all the perks of their players. Draymond Green is probably going to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
Poole's gone, so you don't have that element in the locker room to even worry about.
Yep.
And Trayce Jackson-Davis, again, whether he was 57, 47, 37, or 27, if you're not in the top 10, doesn't really matter. I don't think it does. Congratulations to all the IU guys. Again, this is the pub, the hip, the hype, the whatever. Put it on every social. Here's how draft night went. Here's how this went. That's great. It's free advertising for your program. There's two things you can't do as a program. You can't talk about being in the tournament if you're not in the tournament. You can't talk about putting guys in the NBA when you don't put guys in the NBA. It's not hard.
No, you look at the facts. For Trace, look, as IU fans, you just watched one of the best careers in the history of IU basketball, and I know there's been a lot of them, but that was one of the best. No, we didn't have the NCAA success we wanted, but at an individual level, and I think as a teammate as well, I thought Trace Jackson Davis was always great about that. I mean, his assist numbers last year, as you mentioned, were phenomenal. But wherever he ended up, it'd be nice if you're in the Pacers. We'd love it. Indianapolis would love it since he's from there, all that sort of thing. Obviously,
it's not romance.
Yes.
Draft Damon Bailey.
His biological father played for him, all that sort of thing.
Great.
But keep in mind, he just ended up in a pretty damn good situation for himself. And I think ultimately that's what you want these guys to be, especially when they're state of Indiana guys. You know, from out of state, and we don't know who you are growing up, we just don't care as much. And that's not, there's no offense to you or anything like that. We just care a lot more about the guys we see in high school level and at the AAU level. We see them all the time. We watch them.
We watch them too close.
Guys go up to Indianapolis or out in the middle of Knightstown, out in the middle of nowhere, to watch these guys play in some box. And, you get to know him a lot better. So, but well, it's a great opportunity for Trace, and I'm happy for him because he's with a bunch of winners there. So he's going to learn real fast exactly what it takes to win at the NBA level.
Winning culture, winning program, brand new arena, what, 2 or 3 years old. He's got the best of everything. We will come back. We will talk about what the Pacers did with their first two picks. We'll talk about the assets they brought together. We will weigh in on how we think that roster will shape moving forward. Dustin will be with us tomorrow from the Indy Star. Novak is back on Wednesday. Osterman here for the latter part of the week, and I'm going to try to get Tyler in at some point to tell that story that he wrote about Trace Jackson Davis's draft day and draft night. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour rolls on next. Don't forget the Reds are on the radio tonight. They are in Baltimore taking on the Orioles. First pitch, 7:05. Tommy Thrall's pregame, 6:35 here on WGCL. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour carries on next. All right, part two with Novak here on a Monday afternoon, the final Monday of June. As we mentioned, Reds on the radio tonight, 6:35 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. The two-game losing streak. Oh, my gosh. What happened? Well, after 12 in a row, 12 out of 14 doesn't sound so poorly, does it? The Reds tried to come back yesterday afternoon, and Spencer Steer flying out to the warning track. That ball goes over the fence at the Great American Ballpark. Reds win. The Reds drop 2 out of 3, including 2 in a row, to the Braves, who are awfully, awfully good. And so are the Orioles tonight. The Orioles are just 4 back in the East, plenty over 500. Tommy Thrall will tell you all about it. Brandon Williamson, the left-hander, gets the ball tonight for the Kings of the Ohio. The Pacers, last Thursday, did move in the draft. They moved around a bunch of times. But what they did, Dave, I think was interesting, and I think getting caught up over the weekend, learning about what they tried to do and what they accomplished. Well, two different things, but there's two things that jumped off the page. They tried to package and move up. That did not work. You can make the argument as to why. They did move around, as we mentioned in our last segment, about adding some equity here and there, some picks, some cash, and some other things, and getting the guys they wanted. But it sounds like they tried to make a move higher up the board twice, in higher into the top 10, and then between 10 and 20, and nothing really jumped off the board. Now, we learned before the draft started that outside of Wembanyama and maybe the top three, this was not one of the deeper drafts that people were salivating for. And you can point to a bunch of the college guys that didn't get selected. That happens every draft. I'm not worried about the names we've heard about in college basketball season. I'm not worried about that. The guys that analyze the draft for a living, as you were talking about earlier, and the guys at Scout, this was not one everybody was like, wow, look at the value all the way down to you name the number. It wasn't it.
That's the whole problem, is that this draft was a one-man draft, and then maybe two after that. Two guys after that,
and you're gonna guess on the Thompson twins, and you're gonna get ignite players.
And basically, if you listen to Kevin Pritchard, I believe it was, I mean, he told you that there just wasn't the value at 7 that anybody thought.
Yeah, him and Buchanan
about moving around, and that just tells you that they got a guy they like. But what they're saying to you is, you know, this was not a draft full of stars out there potentially, and nobody believed it that way. Who knows at the end of the day? But nobody going into this thought that this was a draft deep full of stars that are going to come out. And most drafts, you know, you're going what 6, 8, 10, 12 deep or something with guys that might be able to become
the lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually the entire lottery. That's why it's a big deal to have a lottery.
This wasn't even there. It was highly concentrated at the top that once you get down into here, you're looking at diminished value of, and he said, according to or compared to other years, we might have been able to get more for this in other years, but they weren't in this particular one because they talk about trading for other free agents, you know, and trading the 7 pick and trying to go get a good size name out there that could help right away. So they get Jarace Walker, who fits a need they have right now. What does that mean for this team? It's still a lot of question marks. He's still a young guy, and he's he's coming into a very young team. They're asking him to play a role that this team needs, but are they going to ask him to play a lot of minutes right off the bat? I wouldn't think so.
But I think this goes back to your point. The Pacers drafted for need here, not best player available, because you didn't have, it sounds like.
And they make it sound like this is the best player available. And on most boards,
what are they going to say?
Boards, if you read it, it's in the ballpark. It's not like they took a huge flyer on this kid and nobody had him on their radar. It's something. You get in, as I said, at number 7, you'd normally like a guy that isn't a question of whether it's a need or not. He's just a really good basketball player, and you can use really good basketball players. And I'm sure this guy is. But in particular, they went after need because everybody was kind of in a lump together. There weren't people that stood out.
The other side of this theory, and then we'll get to this with Dustin tomorrow to see if this is prevalent or just me hallucinating again, is, to your point, you get to 7 – and you say, well, we'll give you 7 and something else. And they say, well, there's nobody in this draft that can give us what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need scoring. You're going to give us 7 and all this stuff. That doesn't get us scoring any
better. I'm not trading you Bradley Beal for 7, yes. 26, and a backup,
because that's
and
not
a backup power forward.
We're
not
doing
that.
Exactly. 30 points on my ledger.
It's worth a lot more than that. There's nobody at 7 that makes it worth that, way they put it.
The good news, bad news is they got Walker, and Walker can play. He was a can't-miss kid out of high school. He had a really good freshman year at Houston with Kelvin Sampson. But at 7, do you want a guy that is limited? Last year, we had this exact same conversation before the draft when the Pacers picked 6th with Mathurin. Who do you want? And I stood on the chair and banged on the drum, and I said, you do not buy defense and rebounding at the 7th overall pick in a scoring league.
Yeah.
It's not 1992. This is not Pat Riley in the Heat and the Knicks tackling each other underneath the basket. You got to have guys that can score. Do I know if Walker can score or not? I don't know. He's on a loaded team.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Anthony Davis where he just did his role, got buckets. I can't sit here and tell you I've watched Jarace. I don't even know how to say his name. I sound like Mad Dog Russo here. Jarace Walker. I don't know how to say his, but the point is, can he blossom into something? Well, that's what you're betting on because nobody else would take the bait at 7. So you are forced to go where you wanted to go, and they've told you what? They think he's a better defender and rebounder than Cam Whitmore because Whitmore, the kid from Villanova at 6'8", went all the way down the board.
Slid, yep.
He did. So what did the Pacers get? They got some need. They got some youth. They did not want to be youthful. That's what you heard before the draft. We don't want 6 picks. We don't want 6 draft picks. Where can we put them? We can't put them all on two-way contracts.
Right.
They're all not going to play. We need some experience and everything else. Now, free agency starts on Friday. We'll see if any of this is packaged and moved along.
Yeah, that's the other part.
Once it's at midnight at Friday, so that would be technically Saturday morning, or is it – I think it's July 1st it starts, but – you'll start hearing all these wonderful stories. And for everybody that said, well, why didn't the Pacers just take Trayce Jackson-Davis at 26 then? They already took Trayce Jackson-Davis at 7.
Yeah.
You don't need two guys,
same guys,
for that. Just because you already have Isaiah Jackson. Mm-hmm. You already have Stick Smith. Yeah. You already have, I don't know, Tice will be gone at some point.
Yeah.
But you have a glut there all of a sudden. You don't do that. So the interesting part of this is what? The Pacers try to find a shooter at 26, the kid from Belmont. Now, why is that interesting? Well, Buddy Hield has 1 year left on his deal. In the NBA, that's called an expiring contract.
Right.
And that's where value comes in.
And that's a lot of points to fill in.
It is. And especially a guy that's a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
He was 2nd in threes made last year.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care what his percentage is. Only Klay Thompson made more threes than he did. or something like that. So those are ways to again, fill your roster holes. I think if you swipe them for 6 and 27, you filled the two spots you need to fill. You need guys that can score the basketball, and you need somebody on this team to guard somebody and grab some rebounds. So on paper, I think the Pacers did just fine on their two picks. I don't think at 26, again, we've talked about Goga and Leaf and Holiday in the 20s and the high 18, 19s. You're hoping.
I still have PTSD from Hansborough.
There you go. That was 13, 17.
Yes. Look, at 26, you got to get out of the mindset that you're guaranteed to find something that's going to walk in the door and impress you pretty significantly. Maybe the kid comes in, works his butt off, and is a sharpshooter and can earn some time that way. But you can't. I don't think you go into it and you think, at 26, we got to find a guy that answers a bunch of questions for us. That would have been nice at 7. I'm not sure Walker answers all the questions there. I'd like to think he can answer a couple of them and be a piece. This is such a young team. It's going to grow together. That's kind of the interesting part to watch here is how much veteran presence they keep around or bring back in. As you mentioned, Hield is going to be a free agent. They're already losing George Hill in the offseason. He's an expiring contract. So there's a couple guys that are coming off the books here. It was a mediocre draft. And the Pacers.
The Pacers didn't get anything
at 7 that wows you necessarily. No offense, Mr. Walker. I hope you're fantastic, but it just wasn't a draft for that. It wasn't. It's not going to go down as a classic. Somebody put out a draft. I don't remember if it was 11 or what it was. 2011, the one where Cody and Vic went.
Yeah.
And I mean, we recognize Cody and Vic at 2 and 4, and we'd pump our chest a little bit. But the rest of that draft stunk.
Not very good. Anthony Bennett was the first pick.
Yeah, stunk.
Vic should have. You can make the argument. Vic should have been the first pick.
Question.
But yeah, you had C.J. McCollum. You had who else? There's another big guy early that was somewhat deep. But that's the point. You can only draft who's there.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. And what the Pacers don't need is a guy at 7 where you hope it works out. Not with the team they have,
right.
Not what they showed you last year when they were healthy. Before Halliburton got hurt, this team was playing almost like the Reds. Yeah. A bunch of young guys playing well.
They're playing
and a couple of veterans smattered in with McConnell and Hield. And, well, you actually want to call Turner a veteran. He's 27, 26. I mean, that's not been in the league for a long time. But that's the good news. So the Pacers fill holes. Do you hold your breath? You don't. Is the next most important step what they do when the free agent period hits? I don't know how much cash they have, but I'm guessing if they added $4 million to it, they've got a nice pile.
I think they had
a ton of cash last year.
They are top five in cap space. It's so over $20 million, I believe, at least.
But they're going to have to trade to bring that in because we just know free agents do not look at this place.
Not big name guys.
So I don't know who's on the market as of today. That's not important because very rarely will they go to the Pacers. So if you're the Pacers, what do you need? Well, your backcourt, you drafted Chris Duarte 2 years ago at 13.
Yeah.
And he's 25 or 26 now.
Mm-hmm.
That should be, if he's healthy, that should be a piece where you have
plus Mathurin,
you have Tyrese Halliburton,
yeah.
You have Buddy Hield,
yeah.
You have Duarte, TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
Okay, you only get 12 guys on a roster, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to do 6 and 6, 6. And, well, you got Aaron Nesmith. There's 6 right there.
Yeah.
Again, where do you move for the Pacers? Well, you got to move some guys and find some guys in the front court that can play in battle. Turner cannot give you 40 minutes a night down there. Why? Most guys down at that position do not anyhow.
Yeah.
You got to get him some help on the glass so he can expand his offensive game and he gets out of foul. If you're bodying a guy up, he can come over and clean up shots, block shots for mm-hmm. you. He does that anyhow. But you got to have some front court help. Right. Those guys, before you say, well, that would have been Trayce Jackson-Davis, we already told you, Pacers' 7th pick overall is going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Do you need more of him? You always need more of it. Do you want to have the guy that's a 7th-round pick playing 30 minutes a game? If he earns it like Mathurin did, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But you got
to
earn it.
If you're playing him just to play him, remember at the end of the season, late in the season, some of those guys weren't playing. Smith wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. Jackson wasn't playing. They're just throwing anything out there to see what works. So the Pacers, again, Dustin will get into this tomorrow. The plan moving forward with free agency is what? I think that's the interesting question. You want to get out from underneath Hield's contract? The reason you trade Hield and just don't let it expire and keep the cap space is because that cap space is hard to move.
Yeah.
Because the free agents don't come here.
You like to get something, and the cap space, again, you can't save up a bunch of money for LeBron.
But here's what I know about Buchanan and Pritchard. Nobody in their mother – and you're lying. I want timestamp proof. You saw that Halliburton was on the table.
Yeah.
For Sabonis. No one.
Yeah.
The only person that we all think and it came true was Ayton because they gave him the sheet.
Yeah.
Here's your sheet. You got to sign. That's a fact.
Yep.
But no one saw Halliburton coming. Halliburton and Heald.
Right. No, that was
no one saw that.
We knew there was a Sabonis Turner question.
We didn't know how it was.
We didn't know it would be resolved.
We all thought
that way.
It was Turner.
We all thought Turner would be gone.
So again, the Pacers do a good job of not leaking that out there. Yeah. That's why I find this interesting because they're looking at guy. Not one player, because he played in the West Coast, said, "Oh, the Pacers should go after Halliburton."
Right.
Not one player said that. Not one player. Blog, beat writer, no one, because the other keep it quiet. So it'll be really interesting to see what the Pacers do. All right, let's do the high school football schedule. We only got a couple minutes left. We will get into this on Wednesday of the where's, why's, and how's. This is a little teaser for you, but Dave Novak and Joe Smith will begin our coverage starting in August. School is back in Monroe County on August 2nd. Woo. That's like 3 days from now. My goodness.
Like
nine regular season games.
As always.
And we will carry the playoffs as far as our local teams carry us. And with further ado, the 2023 IHSAA WGCL radio broadcast schedule. Dave puts this together. The Hall of Famer puts his stamp of approval on it, and away we go. And week number one, we will be?
Week number one, August 18th, we will be at Edgewood on the red carpet as we're
the molten
in,
lava
yeah,
of
we're
the sun.
Bringing in a new coach over there, and they are facing Mitchell. So this
a
is
nice local derby.
We've seen Mitchell a couple times in recent years here, so we know this can be a competitive game for the Mustangs, and looking forward to seeing the new regime over there.
Week number two, then, I'm smart enough to figure out, is going to be Bloomington North or Bloomington South. We try to do all three teams in the first 3 weeks. Week two.
We get a look at it, but you got the biggest rivalry in the area, and that's South and Martinsville.
So
this is no-brainer on the books right there. So we got to be at that game.
And that's been tasty here
especially
over
since
the last
it's here.
Few years.
We don't always travel up the road, but we like to do it when it's here.
Two home games in a row must mean it's an away game in week three.
Unfortunately, all three teams were away, so we were always going to be away. I can talk more about the thought processes
yes,
there.
Please.
But North in a conference game is at Terre Haute South. So the Terre Haute schools face the Bloomington schools that weekend, and so we picked North because they are the third of the three to get in the first 3 weeks.
And week number four, that's the obvious one, annually.
Week four is obvious. North at South, it's at South this year. But it doesn't matter, obviously. That one's the biggest no-brainer of all.
And we will get into the matchups and the teams and the coaches on Wednesday a little bit deeper in this. Week number five, as we are in the guts of September now.
We don't like road trips much.
I noticed that.
So we're going to stick at home in this one and go with North and Terre Haute North. So we'll see.
Another conference Indiana battle.
We still like to see the conference games out of these teams. No question about that. And with the home game there, South's on the road that week, that we're going with that one.
And we and all of our listeners on Big Show Friday appreciate not taking Joe out of the studio at 4 o'clock so we can get ready for these big games. The Hall of Famer tells the great stories of all of our local athletes. He's on vacation this week. I know I told you that earlier, but I'll remind you again. Week six.
South is home to Southport, so that's another Conference Indiana game. Southport's fallen apart the last couple of years, but traditionally that's always been a good game, and it is a conference game that weekend for the Panthers. And then week seven, this is where you start to get into question marks.
The and-ors.
How seasons go. We try to stick with conference games, but South at Columbus North. Columbus North has been huge for North and South the last couple of years.
Annual decider.
If they're not winning the conference, they're finishing second or third. So, I mean, they're very prominent here, and we actually go back-to-back with Columbus North as South goes to Columbus North week seven, week eight North hosts Columbus North.
And that's annual in our broadcast schedule for the most part as well, doing the back-to-back Columbus North games. And in week nine, we will wrap it up regular season play before sectional action begins.
Yeah, the conference game there for the Cougars is home or at Southport, rather. They are on the road to Southport. South is hosting Seymour, which is a sectional preview, just like it was last year. So there's a chance, just depending on how things go. But chances are we're going to be at Southport to see North at Southport.
And we know week 10 is the class 4A. Is that where Edgewood is now?
4A and down, yep.
And the Mustangs will be involved in sectional.
And there's a couple 5A games in that first week.
Were the odds,
yeah,
the weird
ones.
But Edgewood, we know we always open the sectionals in the IHSAA playoffs with the red and the black, wherever they are at. And we'll do that again this year. The following week, North, South, Seymour, and
Columbus East
come into play.
Yep.
Those four will play each other. And if we have another city battle, we'll have another city battle. If not, we hope the next week is a city battle because that would be the sectional championship here in Bloomington.
And Seymour appears on one schedule, South in week 9, but Columbus East appears on both North and South schedule. Week 1, South hosts Columbus East, so that's a rematch of the sectional game last year. That's week 1 for South, and then Columbus East comes to town to face North in week 7. So you'll get a real good look at Columbus East.
South's going to get all their games in this year.
I certainly hope so. Well, they're on the schedule. Last year they had an open date going into this, so they've got to figure it out. South has filled it with Brebeuf. They're going to Brebeuf, so if things go really weird, we might take Smitty back to his alma mater.
That's it. That'd be a fun road trip. That would be one big show Friday. We would not. We'd say, yeah, go ahead and do all that. All right, great job as always. You're back on Wednesday. We'll get more into the schedule. We'll talk Colts offseason. We'll talk all the rumors swirling into the College World Series at all. Game 3 is tonight.
I saw the decider. Score yesterday.
24-4. Yeah.
Save a few of those.
Well, that's that ain't how it works.
No, it's not.
7 o'clock tonight if you're into that. If not, stay with us. Reds baseball. 6:35 for a 7:05 first pitch. 3 in a row in Baltimore before the Reds are home to the Padres on the weekend.
Did you see who Joey Votto compared De La Cruz to?
He did. I watched that press conference live after the game, and Mickey Mantle, ooh, that's a big but he's interesting in the sense that he's a switch hitter with power and speed, and yeah. I think anybody that saw Mickey before his knees were hurt said, yeah, that's about what it looks like. See if the Reds can get back to a winning start. Brandon Williamson with the ball tonight. We'll have the Reds for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Dustin Dupirak tomorrow. Novak on Wednesday night. Osterman for Thursday and Friday as usual. And my wife's birthday is on Friday, so send your great birthday gift ideas to me, glass at WGCLradio.com. Have a great Monday night. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour is over.